Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, where we cover stock market investing through the millennial lens. Today should be lots of fun as the market plummets again 2 days in a row, challenging some very key points on our algorithms, and that's what we're going to get to today. But let me just say, this is not your dad's stock market, certainly not your granddad's. The volatility is fierce. The information flows you get from all sides are constantly challenging your decision-making process. And if you want to excel, you need to use millennial tools to execute. Number one tool being algorithms, and that's what we talk about today and every day at 12 o'clock. I try to get on this call for you and share information directly off our trading desk. We have proprietary algorithms written for the major indexes. You can follow our website on our homepage, our real-time monitor for our risk-on, risk-off algorithms of the top five big indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, small cap index, and the mid cap. And what we do is we use another millennial tool, the exchange traded funds, ETFs, to invest and to trade and to monitor markets. So we're looking, when I talk about algorithms and whether we're risk on or risk off, I'm discussing exchange traded funds, not futures or anything like that. We're looking at SPY for the S&P, DIA for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, QQQ for the NASDAQ 100, IWM, the small cap index, and MDY for the mid cap index. So without further ado, let's get to today's action. I think the number one piece of news that is moving the markets today is clearly what's happening in rates. Of course, we had the employment report, but it's really the reaction to the news, not the news itself. So I'm not going to go over what the employment numbers were and try to pick it apart. It really makes no difference to us. The algorithms are what matters. And so what we look for is the reaction to the news, and then we respond to the reaction. Or as my old high school hockey coach used to say, read and react, son, read and react. He didn't say parse the tea leaves. He didn't say try to guess what the team is going to do as they come across the blue line. I was a goaltender, so the idea was to read and react what was going on, and that works in a lot of things in life, and particularly the stock market. So I'm not looking at the tea leaves and trying to figure out what all those government numbers mean. All we care about is what institutions are doing with capital. And all we care about today is the sell-off that's occurred in the last couple of days in the market. Is it the beginning of something big, or is it the final day of another shakeout in what's been an unbelievable uptrend for the market? That's what we're grappling with. Now, those of you following us on Twitter, you know we've been updating at the end of the day what we've been looking for in group ETFs and in index ETFs. So if you follow us, hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, Algorithmic Risk Management Research. You know that we said at the end of the day yesterday, we're still long the NASDAQ 100, the Dow, and the S&P. You also know from 2 weeks ago, we raised the caution flag. And we said, look, small cap index, our algorithms are telling us to be in cash in small caps and mid caps. And very often, that's the canary in the coal mine. If those things break down hard, they usually break down before the rest of the market does. And so the big question was, is this a rotation out of small mid caps back into the big cap names, or is this the beginning of a major market decline started by the small caps, which almost every major decline starts with small caps? I've been doing this over 30 years. I've been investing and trading for over 30 years for my own personal capital and for investors. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that small caps break down first when the market really begins to struggle. And the reason is simple. Let me lay it out for you from an insider's perspective, somebody who's been doing this a long time. I understand how money is managed. And what we try to gauge every day with our algorithms is what institutions are doing with money. It's not what individual investors are doing, because they don't really move markets. It's what billion-dollar funds are doing with capital. Are they raising cash? Are they shifting the capital structure? That's what our algorithms are trying to ferret out. And the first place to suffer is small caps, because small caps, I'm going to make a broad generalization now, but small caps don't have the same support from institutional investors as the big caps do, for a whole host of reasons. If you want to say that money makes the world go round, we can get real cynical on this and say that brokerage firms don't write a lot of research reports on small cap names that aren't going to be doing a lot of investment banking business with them. And so what you get is a skewed world where most recommendations are made on big cap companies. And of course, there's liquidity there. So that's not even cynical. That's just a fact. And so where there's liquidity, there's more safety. And so in the smaller cap names, there's less liquidity. So when things start to go awry, there's just not as much money from an institutional standpoint committed to small caps as there are committed to the Dow or the NASDAQ 100 or the S&P. Come to think of it, that's not even cynical. That's just fact. I'm not sure anybody would debate that. Feel free to direct message me on Twitter, at Brett Rosenthal, if you want to debate it. But there's nothing really to debate. So the reason small caps drop first is they have the least amount of support from an institutional world where the real dollars are. I'm talking pension plans, endowments, the real money. That's why we always call it the canary in the coal mine. And this market has been very hard to understand when it comes to, is this just a blip on a major uptrend or is it the beginning of a collapse? There's been so many cross currents and so many pieces of information. On the one hand, you say, well, maybe money's coming out of small caps because we got some trade deals. That's one narrative I hear on trading desks. And on the other hand, I look at our algorithms. And the fact is we're still long the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ 100. Now, that might change by the end of today. I mean, we're right up against it. We were up against it yesterday, and in the last hour and a half, the market rallied off of those points. Now we're up against it again. And the question again for us will be, where are we in the last hour and a half of trading? That's what's going to matter today. And if at the end of the day things have changed, we will update our website, the real-time monitor, rosenthalcapital.com. You'll see it on the home page. And it'll be a pretty major change for us. We've been aggressively long the market since July. So this would be a big change if we have to really step aside. But we can't do it yet. This isn't your dad's stock market. There's wild intraday volatility driven by intraday algorithms. Sometimes a piece of news comes out, algorithms that crawl news stories think that they've read something that's written to code and they start selling or buying the market. It's really insane. Sometimes they even get what they're reading wrong. It's just code writer. Code writer is written, if these words show up in news stories, sell the market. And sometimes the words show up, but in a different order. I mean, it's really bizarre. I'm trying to remember what happened this week. It was a piece of news. It's just, you know, I can't pull it from my memory bank, but there was an example of just that activity this week where news hit the wire, the market immediately sold off, but it wasn't really, the interpretation of the news was completely inaccurate. And of course, later other stories came out to set the record straight and the market, you know, rebounded it, but it happened so rapidly. It's clearly algorithms, intraday news crawlers. These are the millennial tools institutions use, and they whip you around. So what we have to do is use our own force field, so to speak, to deal with that hysteria. And we've got to suffer some sell-offs in the morning. We're never going to top tick the market. It's tough. Look, we had two days ago, we were at the highs of the year in our net worth here on the trading desk. And in 2 days, you know, even though we've got cash position, got about 30% cash in the portfolio, we're still getting hit. You know, we're still getting hit. It happens. There's just nothing you can do about it. Nothing you should try to do about it. Because if you spend your whole day trying to top tick the market, you'll end up with nothing. Top ticking the market's for suckers. Looking at your net worth 2 days ago is for suckers. Every time you make a new high in your net worth, you have to realize until I book it, it's not really there. It's like phantom money. And based on where your stops are, the reality is the real money could be 2% lower than what your net worth is today, or 1%, or whatever your stops are. It depends. That, you know, that changes on a rapid basis. So we'll see where we are at the close today. But I would behoove you to just take a deep breath. It's 12 o'clock. We had the same action yesterday, and we had a big rally at the end of the day. The S&P is trading a little bit below its 50-day moving average. The NASDAQ 100 is below the 50-day. The Dow is well above its 50, and even the, I think it's even above the, let's take a look. No, it's coming right down to the 20 and 25-day. And the 50-day moving average is a lot lower for the Dow. So the Dow is still the strongest index. And so there's still the debate. The debate continues to rage algorithmically on our trading desk. Is the sell-off in small caps the beginning of a big decline, or is it rotation into the Dow stocks, which are the big caps? The Dow continues to outperform every other index. And I'm going to get to that later in the show, because there are particularly – there are a handful of names in the Dow that really look, they look fantastic. So if this market stops in here and holds the 50-day on the S&P and we're still long by the end of the day, we may be getting long some of these Dow names. And I'll get to those names later in the show. But I just want to stick with these big cap ETFs. And then I want to shift over. If you're following me on Twitter, now's the time to go take a look at it. I'll give you a second. Pull it up. Hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report. And you're going to see I published earlier today two chart patterns that demand your attention. Because this is what it's all about. This is what it comes down to in the news cycle. Interest rates are going up. We've got new highs in interest rates. And the question is that the beginning of the end of this bull market? Because 30-year rates, 20-plus, you know, long bond rates are rallying. 10-year yields are at the highs. You're approaching a 2-year yield of something like 3%, which we haven't seen in a long time. And a lot of people might say, hey, thank you very much. I'll take that with no risk. And so that's driven the air, the froth out of the stock market right down to these key levels, which we're sitting at right now. And so I put up a chart on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, that shows two charts. One is the ETF of Treasuries, TLT, the long bond, Tango Lima Tango. And you'll see it's that price is collapsing. It looks pretty awful. And of course, rates go the opposite direction of price. So as price is collapsing, rates are going up. But right next to it, I published a chart of the utility index. Utility stocks are near the highs of the year, not the lows. And even in the last 2 days, with rates breaking out to new highs for the year, new lows in price, utilities have gone from XLU is the index I'm looking at, XLU, utilities have gone from a price of 53 and a half in 2 days. With long rates exploding, that usually doesn't happen. Usually the two indexes follow a similar path. But what's interesting is that we've seen rates go up dramatically since beginning of September, and yet utility stocks, they suffered at the beginning of September. They sold off with rates. So the price of utility stocks went down as their yields went up. But now, since late September, as TLT has gone to new lows, utilities have rallied. So there's your tug of war. I would expect to see confirmation of utilities collapsing if we really had a rate problem. And we don't see that yet. So things look ugly right now. This is the second day of some pretty heavy selling. But let's see where we are by the end of the day. Let's disregard some of the hysteria about rates that are going up and how it's going to ruin the bull market. We're not seeing that in interest rate sensitive stocks. So I'm just sharing with you today the thoughts that are in my mind on the trading desk today as we manage real capital. There can be big sell-offs in the morning. The question is, where is the market at the end of the day? So you might want to write down some of these notes to help you get through days like this. Step one, you can write down, grab a pen and piece of paper, write this down. Step one, big down mornings, statistically speaking, mean nothing. Statistically speaking, it's the close that matters, not the big down open. Now, are there some days where it's down big in the morning and it craters to the close? Absolutely. Today could be that day. And guess what? That's the way it'll go. We'll lift positions out of the portfolio. We'll be done with our long trade from July 5th. We'll probably take a three-day weekend. It was a good run from July. We'll take a three-day weekend. We'll go play a little golf on Monday. And we won't care what the market does for a couple of days as it tries to find bottom. And then we'll look to find our way back into the market if the algorithms tell us to. But that's not the case right now. So step one, take a deep breath. On days where the market's down big in the morning, you've got to make your way through it and wait to see where you are at the end of the day. Statistically speaking, the markets are up 80% of the time. If you're constantly shaken out in the morning, you're going to be statistically behind the eight ball, and it's going to make your returns in your investment portfolio suffer. So you've got to suck it up, Buttercup, on days when the market's getting whacked in the morning. I'll tell you what I hate the most are days when the market's up big in the morning. Those are the ones that really concern me. And as an example of why, if you've been following these podcasts and you've been picking up what I've been laying down for 2 weeks, I've been saying to you really in the last 7 days, up to yesterday, we had 7 days in a row of selling into the close, strong opens and weak closes for 7 days in a row, along with small cap collapse. And then we got, destruction yesterday, and we're getting destruction today in the market. But what I do find interesting is yesterday was the first day in eight where the market was down in the morning and up in the afternoon. Is this going to be the second day in nine where we're down in the morning and rally in the afternoon? When you're down, or when you're up in the morning and down in the afternoon, that's a sign of what we call distribution. Institutions are selling into strength. If you're down all morning but rally hard in the afternoon, then that's a sign of accumulation. And that will tell us that institutions are buying the uptrend. They're buying the 50-day moving average. They're supporting the market. So it's what happens at the end of the day, not at the beginning, that's going to matter today. All right, let's move on. Try to get to a couple things here, tidy up before the end of this call. I hope that helps you. You grabbed your pen, a piece of paper, and that is the number one thing I want you to write down, circle it, and put it on your board. Put it on your vision board above your head. Remain calm, sell-offs in the morning. Be concerned with big rallies in the first hour because it's the close that matters, and it's accumulation or distribution of institutional money that moves markets, and that's what our algorithms are trying to decipher. So we'll check back on what the market's doing later today to determine how we want to react with our capital. And if it is true that today is day two of rallies in the afternoon suggesting accumulation, then I would submit to you that the best performing index is the Dow by far. I mean, you have the small cap index headed towards and almost at its 200-day moving average. So it's been crushed. It's below the 20, the 25, the 50, and it's approaching the 200-day. So that's the worst index. The mid-caps are right behind it. Then the NASDAQ 100 has clearly broken below the 50-day moving average. It would take a colossal rally in the afternoon to change that. The S&P is sitting just a hair below the 50-day, so there's a battle going on right now. And the one index that's above the 50-day and actually above the 25-day is the Dow. So if we get support in here, the place you're going to want to go with capital if you want to put more money in the market clearly are the big cap names that have the right algorithmic setup. And there's a lot of them hiding out in the Dow. We've got Boeing that blew out to new highs this week. That's leading the Dow. You know I'm a big fan of IBM. That's pulling back with the market right now, but it's having a great couple of weeks. We own shares of Caterpillar in our portfolio from a couple weeks ago. It's been a huge run, $10 run in like a 5 days in Caterpillar. Major breakout for a major Dow stock. I don't really like the semiconductor index. We covered this, I think it was early this week or late last week. We were trying to get ourselves involved in the semis, and we just never got a buy signal on our algorithms, which saved us a lot of money as SOXX has only gone lower. But I'll be honest with you. If I had to choose one semi stock right now, gosh, it's going to have to be Intel. Intel's the one with the right risk to reward setup on our algorithms, and it's in the Dow. And it's also one of my favorite type of stories where it's a great company. CEO was fired. The stock went down. You know they're going to hire a new CEO. The street's probably going to love whoever it is that takes over. And they're transitioning their business and focusing on data centers and big data. And I love buying these names. Everyone likes to write them off. Oh, Advanced Micro Devices has now taken over the world. Give me a break. They've had a great run because of cryptocurrencies. They're not taking over the world. And Intel will have a fine showing. Fine showing. Once they come with their 10 millimeter. And they're ramping up right now. So I'd look to Intel. I really like, I can't believe I'm going to say this because I've generally been out of these stocks and haven't invested in them, but the banks look pretty good. JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. Gosh. From a valuation standpoint, everyone agrees they look great. From an algorithmic standpoint, they have the right setup. So if you have your pen and piece of paper still out, you're writing these names down. You're going to write down IBM. You're going to write down Intel and JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. Caterpillar's already up too much for you to chase it. So is Boeing. But when you look at these names, you're going to realize, wow, they're all in the Dow. So at the moment, it looks like money's rotating into Dow stocks. All right, so this afternoon is going to be very important. Do we have a rally into the close? If we do, are there stocks that have set up and we have good entry points from a reward risk standpoint? And do we want to put more capital to work? Right now, like I said, on our trading desk, we're sitting on close to 30% cash. So we've got capital to deploy if we want to do it. But I'm going to have to see where we are at the end of the day. It can really go either way. The market sells off into the close. We're going to be out of a bunch of investments. We're going to have a lot of cash in our portfolio by the end of the day. A lot of cash. So we'll see. Now let's just give a quick update to our cannabis play, our marijuana play. We're still there in a big way. And that might be the only play that is able to make it through market corrections. Stops are far away. I'm not looking to – we've already booked profits in a lot of our marijuana stocks as they went up. And so now we have our core positions on, and I don't see us moving out those positions right now. I don't see along with the Dow, these marijuana stocks aren't even close to the stops that we would be trailing. So the Dow and marijuana stocks are the strongest sectors of the market right now. I bet you never thought you'd hear that statement. The Dow and marijuana stocks are the strongest sectors of the market. And the reason I wanted to update the MJ investment, that's the ETF that we've been involved in since the middle of August. We own it at $27 a share. Stock's trading at 37.5 right now. It's been in the high 40s. And we've sold some, along the way, on the way up there, like I said. So we just have our core position now. And quite frankly, I'm looking to figure out when can we dramatically increase our position there. Huh. So funny. Right now, that position represents 4.2% of our portfolio. Or for you marijuana fans out there, 420. But I'd like to make that a lot bigger. And I'll tell you one reason why I'm excited about the space. This is the last thought here before I have to go and get back to the process of managing capital. I want to leave you with this. These marijuana stocks have had a huge run, and everybody's calling for a top, and everyone's saying it's overdone. But let's look at the facts for a second. A lot of these companies, some of the biggest names like Tilray, some of the names like GW Pharmaceutical, one of our favorites, they have just raised a lot of money in the last week. They've done converts. They've done secondary offerings that GW's case represented almost, I think, 10% of the float. Maybe it was 8% of the float. And typically when you have new supply, the asset prices go down. And yet they've got all this new supply. Those are just two examples. Two of the highest profile names have raised, I think, $1 billion between them. Feel free to correct me if that number's off a little bit, but it's close to that number between those two companies. And yet the stocks have not gone down. While the market is in the last 2 days imploding, the stocks have just hovered right around the prices they've been at for the last couple of weeks, even though they've just raised $1 billion from two companies. And there have been other capital raises throughout the sector. That tells you the strength in the sector. That's amazing to me. I would have thought that sector would be down 10-15% on the capital raise. So it makes me want to stay focused there. All right, I hope have a great day of trading, and I hope you have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking to you on Monday and going over the changes.